Donna Ehrlich summarizes her naturopathic doctoral dissertation about the cause and possible solutions to some 66 mystery illnesses.
What's happening to me? My energy is starting to flag. My genes keep getting harder to tug on. At times, my heart races without prompting. I can't believe it. My hair is coming out in clumps in the shower. I'm having hot flashes. My mind is foggy. I can't concentrate. What is going on? Is this just aging? Am I going through menopause? Am I getting a disease? Help. There are typically three answers of responses that individuals get when they start going on the search for the answers to some of these things. The first is, yeah, it's aging. You're just getting older. You have to recognize some of these things happen. The second response is being given some consolation, okay, because now they are naming the symptom, such as, oh, I've got fibromyalgia. Okay, now I know what my problem is, and that helps me feel better. And the third response is an attempt to reverse the symptoms by substitution. Saturating the body with the missing hormones or vitamins. Well, they might be making progress, but there is so much more help out there for us. And they have not gotten to the root cause. Most people want the fourth. They want the fourth and the higher response, that of understanding what is the root cause. What is causing all of these things? What is the true reason for a person's aches and pains? And then to discern a reliable treatment of how to deal with the underlying issues. So a mystery illness, as we want to define it, is any ailment that leaves a person perplexed for any reason. Maybe they have been given that name, a name, but they don't really understand what's causing it. And frequently it's misdiagnosed, and they just don't have the answer. So four things really can happen. An unnamed illness maybe is given to them. They have blood work done, MRIs, ultrasounds, other imaging exams, and none of those raise a red flag. So they're sent home with what's called idiopathic, meaning unknown. Or then there's the ineffective treatment, where a name is given for a set of symptoms, but no viable avenue for recovery, and then medications to manage those symptoms are given. And then there's the misdiagnosed. A person receives a name, except that it could be a wrong problem. Example, hormones are taken. First off is unnamed illnesses, where the blood work comes through, the MRIs, everything comes through, and everything looks good. They can't figure out what it is. So that's kind of an unknown, idiomatic meaning. Then there's number two is the ineffective treatment, where the medications, again, are set to manage the symptoms. And then a misdiagnosis, number three, such as hormones have taken the blame for many women's ailments that have nothing to do with menopause or even hormonal imbalance. And then so they will go on for, you know, it's just dealing with the symptoms. You see, early 1900s, medical science made great breakthrough when it came to studying viruses, virology. But it was all swept under the carpet because there was no real funding to take these discoveries to the next level. And so these amazing doctors were left in the lurch, and their findings about viruses went largely ignored. The focus has been on these miracle surgeries that are doing amazing things, but the whole idea of what's going on with those viruses is really They're not even touching that. Then there's fads and trends. Fads and trends in medicine do not become popular because the diagnosis and treatments work, or because they're healing benefits, but because of the allure of vibrant health. Listen to any promotional that's out there for all those aches and pains. It's the belief system that finds followers that makes them so attractive. The fad behind the mistaken belief that a no-carb diet will solve candida issues, or the incorrect conviction that the Hashimoto's disease is a condition that the body's own immune system attacks the thyroid. How many of us have heard that? And the misguided attempts to treat Lyme disease with antibiotics. Trends are not answers. And most of the time, there's an actual physical cause to a chronic mystery. Valued for the insights and precision in the causes of disease that often baffle conventional and alternative healthcare practitioners, the book, Secrets Behind Chronic and Mystery Illnesses and How to Finally Heal, has clearly identified the Epstein-Barr virus as the root cause to some 66 mystery symptoms, and to its cofactor and best friend, Bacteria streptococcus. Unfortunately, a significant number of these symptoms have been blamed on the thyroid as the cause. There are over 60 strains now of Epstein-Barr virus. The initial viruses are still with us and are relatively slow to act and might not even create notable symptoms throughout until later in life. The virus has evolved over the decades, and each generation of the virus has grown more challenging than the one before. Viruses tend to mutate and hide in unrelated places in the body, and as a result, are very difficult to identify. We now have a secret epidemic created by the Epstein-Barr virus. Roughly 320 million people in the U.S. Of the 320 in the U.S., 225 million Americans have some form of Epstein-Barr virus. This virus is responsible for many illnesses of every category. For some people, it just creates fatigue and pain that goes unnamed. For others, the symptoms prompt doctors to prescribe treatments such as hormone replacement, and for many, many people, they're walking around with Epstein-Barr virus and it gets misdiagnosed. The original Epstein-Barr virus was more difficult to catch, and it was more of through blood and saliva, but the newer versions, it's only a sneeze or a sip from a shared glass away. Epstein-Barr is one of the most common human viruses out there. It is found all over the world. Epstein-Barr virus infections in children usually do not cause symptoms. Usually teenagers or adults with weakened immune systems will experience fatigue, fever, inflamed throat, swollen lymph nodes, in the neck, enlarged spleen, swollen liver, and a rash. These individuals get better in 2 to 4 weeks, yet some may feel fatigued for several weeks or even months. These are identified as having mono. But after a person gets the infection, mono, the virus becomes latent, inactive in the body. And in some cases, the virus may reactivate. Symptoms may occur with those who have a weak immune system. Now, as we're going through this, and you hear something like, symptoms may occur with those who have a weak immune system, what does that tell you as a Sun Rider? And when you hear things like that, just write down the food that you know of Sun Rider to help people with a weakened immune system. And you'll see a picture put together here as we go through this. Many young people today are being sidelined because of the numerous Epstein-Barr virus mutations. They're creating debilitating symptoms. With these mutations progressing, and most of the new ones are hitting the youth. It's bad enough that 17 out of 100 college students do not return to school after their first or second year due to health effects of newer mutations of Epstein-Barr virus. They're left behind at home, lost and struggling with the virus debilitating symptoms, and many of them are receiving Lyme disease as a diagnosis. So there are four stages that Epstein-Barr goes through, and you can identify the cause by identifying the symptoms. Number one, there's the baby stage. This is dormant and slowly replicating itself. Then there's the stage two, which is the war stage. This is where you get mononucleosis. Then there's the third stage. This is called the thyroid stage, where it starts to nest. It goes into the thyroid or other organs and lives there, playing havoc on the organ that it's living within. And then the fourth stage is where it attacks the central nervous system. The baby stage is not detectable through any tests, and it doesn't really cause any symptoms, but maybe a mild scratchy throat or some tiredness. But it's not until stage two that it's contagious. So a person may not even be aware of it. Then it can be in stage two for weeks to decades, floating in the bloodstream, slowly replicating itself, growing in numbers until some point the body is weakened and less able to ward off infection. This is called the war stage, where we have mono. Here again, sore throat, headaches, swollen glands, even a rash. During this stage, it's during this mono stage that it moves to one or more of the major organs to seek a long-term home. Typically, it's the liver or the spleen, thriving on mercury, dioxins, and other toxins that accumulate there. At the same time, a person can also have strep, a cofactor and best friend of Epstein-Barr virus. Strep moves to the throat or infects the sinuses, the nose, the mouth, or can also move to the urinary tract, the vagina, kidneys, bladder, usually eventually causing cystitis. So we have now a virus and a bacteria. Thinking now about Sun Rider, what is our best weapon against bacterial invasion? Do you know what that is?
Alpha 20C.
Golden Seal for bacteria. Okay, you're right, for the immune system. But when we, okay, which is a virus. But when we get to the bacteria, which is your strep, your best weapon against bacterial infection is our Golden Seal. And it will also work with the virus too, okay? But that's your bacterial, okay? And you want to remember that one. Now, as it goes nesting in the organs, and just think about this, of why we're, you know, talking about all of this. How many times have you heard people say, I just don't understand why I've had problems with this. You know, I've been healthy all my life, and now I'm having problems with this, and I don't know what caused this. We see this happening all the time, don't we? So, could it be, okay, that things have been going on and building up in those organs for time, over time? Stage three now, nesting in an organ. Medical tests do not find the Epstein-Barr virus presently alive in the bloodstream because it's now living in an organ, and no tests have been developed to detect this. The current tests only see antibodies from the Epstein-Barr and are considered to be the results of back when they had mono. From this point on, the virus hides undetected in the organs, still alive, burrowing deep into the organ and causing new symptoms and eluding the tests for Epstein-Barr. Depending on the variety, it can lie dormant for years, possibly decades. And if it's an aggressive variety or a person experiences triggers, and we're going to talk about those here in a moment, in their life, or that organ becomes weakened for some reason, it may cause serious problems even while nesting in that organ. So while nesting in the organ, the virus creates three kinds of poisons. There's the toxic waste. This is the viral byproduct, like spirochetes, often misdiagnosed as Lyme's. Then there's the toxic virus, the corpse. Every 6 weeks, the virus cell dies, and the corpse that is left is toxic and further poisons the body. And as this army continues to grow, this becomes more serious. Usually, we feel it as fatigue. Then there's the neurotoxins. The poisons from the waste matter and the corpse create what's called neurotoxins, and these disrupt the nerve functions in the body and confuses the immune system, thus preventing the immune system from zeroing in on the virus and attacking it. So some of the organs that it likes to nest in is the liver, and so now the liver becomes sluggish and unable to flush out toxins effectively, or the digestive system. This is the liver's sluggish performance will lead to digestive issues such as lowering of the stomach's hydrochloric acid. Intestinal tract starts to become toxic. There's bloating or constipation happens because the food is now not being fully digested and instead is putrefying in the intestinal tract. Then food sensitivities can develop and we get allergic reactions. Then there is strep bacteria also nesting and weakening in the organs. Again, the throat, the sinus, vagina, urinary tract, kidneys, bladder. Okay, a lot of kidney stones possible. Okay, bladder, UTIs, some of these reoccurring things. What's happening? What's causing these things? Then it wants to move to the thyroid. As the body becomes more and more toxic, the virus leaves the organs or glands that they're nesting in and moves straight to the thyroid. Rather than the claim that the body is attacking itself, you know, autoimmune, okay? It's the Epstein-Barr virus that is attacking the thyroid. Once in the thyroid, the Epstein-Barr virus begins drilling deep into the thyroid, scarring and killing thyroid cells and moving into its tissues. At this point, its effects are diagnosed as hypothyroidism or other thyroid issues. The deeper the virus hides in the thyroid, the harder it is for the immune system to tag the virus for destruction. And so we get inflammation. Or we get cysts, and this is the body's effort to contain the virus and poisons with a calcium nodule in the thyroid. And if a person doesn't have enough calcium-rich foods, this can lead to osteoporosis. And how many times do we hear, well, at menopause, you know, you can get osteoporosis. Think about why. Why osteoporosis? The body is trying to protect itself from this virus, and so it kind of wants to encapsulate these viruses. Those cells that are not imprisoned in the nodules continue to weaken the thyroid, making it less effective at producing the hormones the body needs to function. This lack of adequate thyroid hormones, coupled with the Epstein-Barr's toxins, can in turn lead to weight gain, fatigue, mental fogginess, impaired memory, depression, hair loss, insomnia, brittle nails, muscle weakness, and a dozen other symptoms. Some, especially our rare, aggressive varieties of Epstein-Barr virus go even further to create cancer in the thyroid. The rate of thyroid cancer in the U.S. has been rising rapidly. Now, not all the Epstein-Barr moves to the thyroid. Some are stay behind, camping out in the liver, the spleen, and the reproductive organs. And even after much of the virus has moved on to colonize the thyroid, the virus continues to contribute to organ issues such as sluggishness, stagnant, fatty liver, infertility, heart palpitations, digestive discomforts, or brain fog. Then in stage 4, Epstein-Barr leaves the thyroid and moves to the central nervous system, where it latches onto the nerves. If the immune system is strong, it will not continue to move to this stage. But if a trigger hits while the virus has successfully worn the person down, it will move to the central nervous system. Stage 4, we're creating new challenges while still living. Some of it is living in the thyroid and continuing to weaken it further. So, some of the neurological symptoms that result as it moves to stage 4 is a major source of mystery to the medical world as to the real cause and how to heal it. ADHD, bipolar, depersonalization, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, tinnitus, vertigo, Meniere disease, pulmonary fibrosis, cystic fibrosis, intestinal lung disease, Ehlers-Danlos symptoms, other connective tissue disorders, sarcoidosis, restless leg syndrome, and MS. At stage 4, the viral neurotoxins flood the body's bloodstream and travel to the brain, where they short-circuit the neurotoxins. The virus then inflames or goes to the nerves throughout the body, making them sensitive and even allergic to the neurotoxins. As a result, the central nervous system experiences even heavier brain fog, memory loss, confusion, depression, anxiety, migraines, joint pains, nerve pains, heart palpitations, eye floaters, restless legs, ringing in the ears, insomnia, difficulty healing from injuries, and so much more. This may all sound very unnerving, but the good news is the body has the ability to regenerate and heal itself when given what it needs. We know that if we can give our body enough of the right kinds of whole foods, what can happen? Regeneration, right? So let's look at some triggers, factors that strengthen the virus activity. The number one, triggers are events, emotional experiences, environmental factors, and other circumstances that can give the Epstein-Barr virus just the fuel it needs to go into an active growth state. In other words, cause a symptomatic challenge. Some of these triggers are, number one, mold. Very, very dangerous. Mercury, one of the virus's favorite foods, avoided in any form. And remember, we know how to chelate, right? That's so important. Frequently eating seafood, especially large fish such as tuna and swordfish that tend to contain significant amounts of mercury. Mercury also tends to travel through the bloodlines, contributing to health problems in generation after generation. And we mistake it for, my mother had that problem, so she passed her genes on to me. Okay? Which in reality is, many times, she's passing on the mercury or whatever other toxins are that you get to experience also. Research, always question anytime you have a vaccination or something because many times it has mercury in it. Then there's a zinc deficiency. This deficiency can also be inherited and worsens over generations. If the zinc is low, this can trigger viral activity. That's why we heard so much about zinc during the COVID situation. The immune cells, they feed off of zinc. It calms down the nervous system. It makes the viruses kind of docile, okay? So what is our number one food that has zinc in it? Do we know? Is a good source of zinc? Do we have a Sunrider food? Anybody know?
Evergreen and electrospike.
Okay, evergreen. What about
I think Top Focus also has zinc in it.
Meta Booster also. Meta Balance 44 even. So look at, we have all of these wonderful foods. Then there's B12 deficiency. Even if the blood tests show normal, the central nervous system, the liver, and other organs may still be severely deficient, allowing the thyroid virus to grow rapidly. What's our B12 food?
Vita spray.
Pesticides, herbicides, including DDT. DDT is passed on from generation to generation to generation. The early turn of the century, early 1900s, DDT was the thing you put on your gardens and your food and all of that to make it better. And now we're experiencing the results of that. And even insecticides in the home meant to kill insects can fuel the virus, contribute to depression. What do we use to kill insects?
Veggie rinse.
Fruit and veggie rinse, yes. I was even using it on those June bugs, you know, that destroy everything. That's pretty effective. Emotional stress is another big, big trigger. Emotions from emotional trauma in any form, such as death in a family, a broken heart, a betrayal, or even caring for a sick loved one. This releases hormones that feed the viruses. So those traumas can release hormones, which feeds the viruses. Then there's virus-friendly prescription medications, antibiotics, can weaken the immune system and feed the thyroid virus, which is Epstein-Barr virus. Overprescribed medication, taking high doses of many medications at once, can create an overwhelming cocktail for the immune system. Hormonal changes, puberty, pregnancy, childbirth, can feed the Epstein-Barr virus with one of the favorite food sources, hormones. How many times have we seen new moms or adolescents suddenly finding themselves sick or just feeling really, really low. Then, of course, there's recreational illegal drugs. Then financial strain, worrying about bills, losing the home, needing to take on an extra work, fear of failure, fear of dying, loss of self-image, shame can definitely weaken the immune system. Physical injuries. Maybe you twisted your ankle, broken a leg, an accident, or other physical injury or trauma can wear down the body to the point where the thyroid virus sees an opportunity to come out of dormancy and to make the move to where the problem is. Even professional carpet cleaning. Use your super clean, clean your carpets, they'll be cleaner and safer. Fresh paint, I'll circulate with plenty of fresh air. Insomnia, any prolonged sleep issues will disrupt the body and can also be caused by viral issues in the first place. So you might have some viral issues going on and so you can't sleep, okay? So ease has been a blessing there, and so many of us have all kinds of wonderful little ways to help us go to sleep. Insect bites and stings, often venom or infection from a piece of the insect left in the skin, gives Epstein-Barr virus opportunity to take hold. Then there's the whole electromagnetic field. Exposure to the 50 hertz electromagnetic field. What's the food that we eat that helps us with that? Do we know? MetaBooster? Is it MetaBooster? I think it is, yes, okay. Again, these triggers are not to be mistaken for the root causes of the virus. These are triggers that fuel the virus to make it grow and grow and grow. And then the last one is radiation. When a nuclear plant releases radiation in the air, you know, this will still fall even today from back in 2011, the earthquake with the plant. And even X-ray radiation can burn the thyroid, suppress the immune system, and open the door for the virus. Spirulina can help protect your organs from radiation because they absorb toxins. Too much radiation exposure is a leading contributor to cancer, endocrine dysfunction, bone diseases such as osteopenia, osteoporosis, bone spurs, immune system failures, and skin diseases. Too much radiation. And then there's the DDT thing, which is passed along through different generations. The toxic heavy metals. This is a huge one. And we can't see the copper, arsenic, cadmium, lead, nickel, mercury, aluminum, steels, and alloys that enter our system through pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, DDT, pharmaceuticals, bloodlines, and so on, wreaking havoc when they are not detoxed. So, why do we drink, Callie? Why do we chelate? So, the next thing we want to focus on is remove the viral feeders, okay, as far as our foods. Problematic foods that feed the bodies. Epstein-Barr virus causing inflammation and other symptoms. Eggs, regardless if they are organic, free range, are filled with hormones. They are the number one food that feeds the virus. Dairy, second favorite, includes milk, cheese, butter, yogurt, cream, kefir, and ghee. Gluten, fuels pathogens. Canola oil damages the linings of the digestive system. Corn due to early crops of corn being treated with enormous amounts of pesticides, now the Epstein-Barr is starting to identify with corn. Soy, although relatively safe, healthy food in the past, but now has overuse of pesticides and herbicides, plus the GMO tampering has made soy crops unstable. While soy does not fuel viruses and bacteria, you can enjoy sparingly organic and non-GMO soy, and certainly the kind that Dr. Chin uses. Alcohol starves the liver of nutrients. Pork has the highest fat content, slowing down the liver function, weakens the immune system. So there are five things that we want to do that will build our immunity and attack the virus. You may have heard of this gentleman, the world-renowned master herbalist, Dr. Teifu Chan, maintains that rather than trying to treat the symptoms or kill the virus, we need to put the focus on building or boosting our immunity so that our body can fight the problem. The qi is the internal energy flowing through the body so the body can fight back. When the body becomes weakened and there is viral activity, toxic mucus is produced. This toxic mucus clogs the energy flow in the body, causing us to get sick. So rather than becoming paranoid about life, focus on eliminating what's feeding the virus and enjoy fortifying and restoring the vitality, the qi, specifically in the immune and respiratory symptom, lymphatic systems, while building up and restoring balance in the body. So number one, remove the mucus so that the internal energy can flow. Mucus causes viruses to flourish. Our immune system's internal pump is actually our muscles, because the movement and exercise pumps and moves the toxic mucus in the body through the lymphatic system to be eliminated. So number one, remove the internal mucus with exercise and lymphatic system is Kanko. Number two, strong immunity starts in the gut, the microbiome. Vitadophilus, evergreen. The health of our gut determines whether a pathogen will move into our body and take hold, or if it will be destroyed or eliminated right from the start. Our microbiota can make the difference between life and death, between developing a serious disease or resisting. If our microbiome is not good, we're going to have brain challenges, cancer, especially in the organs, the gastrointestinal tract is associated with that microbiome disturbance, inflammatory bowel diseases, food allergies, all of these lung issues, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, bowel diseases, cholesterol even. Okay, these are all things that can be addressed by helping with that microbiome. Again, Vitadophilus assimilate, but we're getting that. We're going to get that in our basics here. And evergreen would be our foods for that. So healthy microbiome, dietary fiber, eating meat is hard on the microbiome. Prebiotics, very, very important, most powerful tool for influencing our microbiome. We need both a lactobacillus is needed for digestion, and bifidobacteria for the intestines. Unhealthy diets, even for a short time, can wreak havoc on the microbiome. So we go on a trip and we don't take care of ourselves, and then we have to start all over again. Then the next thing is our table food. The number one for a healthy microbiome is fruit. Now, there's some things that we need to address on that so that because a lot of people are afraid of it. There's a direct relationship between the amount of fruit a child eats and how happy they are. Depression, fruit is a depression buster. Addictions, eating a significant amount of fruit changes the microbiome and is highly effective for overcoming addictions. Fruit fear, that it grows candida, is a misnomer. The best anti-candida approach is to lower your fat protein and incorporate plenty of fruits and vegetables. Fruit sugar leaves the stomach in 3 to 6 minutes and doesn't even touch the intestinal tract. The fruit fiber, the pulp, the skin, the seeds, those go on down. And to help candida, yeast, fungus, all parasites, worms, and non-useful bacteria. Fruit is our anti-candida secret weapon. Fruit is vital for gut health. Listen to this. In a study of 17 participants, 20 servings of fruit a day, they were served for up to 6 months. The large quantity of fructose had the sugar content of drinking 8 cans of soda a day. Their blood pressures improved, their insulin levels dropped, their cholesterol and triglycerides got better. This is the opposite to what one would think. 100 pounds of refined sugar is equivalent to the amount of sugar you consume in fruit would be thousands of pounds of fruit. Fruit stops pathogens in its track. Fruit is the number one fighter for cancer and viruses. Not only does fruit fight cancer, but it kills all types of viruses and bacteria. Number one, bananas, wild blueberries, apples, papayas are the most natural destroyers of viruses on earth. And then number four is herbs. We all know about herbs, don't we? This is the next level of effectiveness. And this, the reason herbs, it's because they're a much higher level of nutrition than our beans and potatoes and even our fruit. Most of society is focused on treating symptoms and restoring. We focus on restoring the balance in your body. When the balance is achieved, the symptoms and the disease quietly go away. So the right kinds of whole foods, we have a whole list of what Sunrider Foods do and why they're so wonderful. And I'm not going to go through those because you all know those. And then number five is the nervous system foods. Top joinees. Number one being ease, because it helps to rebuild that myelin sheath if you have to get down to one. Again, one, exercise. Two, build the microbiome. Three, saturate your body with fruit. You know, that's that fruit smoothie in the morning. Four, herbs. Okay, that's our Sunrider food. And then the nervous system. And many times people will start with a 10-day restart program, fruits and vegetables only, flood your body with fruits and vegetables, and then your Sunrider foods, or even a 90-day rehab program. So I'd like to, I was talking with Dottie this morning, and she was sharing about one of her new Sunriders who had long COVID, and she's been nourishing, balancing, cleansing. I mean, she'd been trying all kinds of things, hadn't she, Dottie, to try to help get over her COVID, long COVID. So tell us what's been her response with our Nourish Balance Cleanse program.
Well, she's been on the program, and, you know, as faithful as possible, but once a day she's been doing her health shake and just doing the basics. That's all we started her on. She is now, she said she's much better. She's more energy. The mucus that was just plaguing her, and the coughing it's really gone away. It's like if it was a 10, now it's just about 2. And this has been maybe 2 months that she's been doing this. Not as consistent as I would like for her to do it, but, you know, fairly consistently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once a day. And mm-hmm. so she's been doing the basics once a day and seeing great results. And I even was going to tell her that her skin was glowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just had this different look as I was talking with her. I was just looking at her skin the whole time, you know, listening to her story, but then looking at her skin and she just looked much healthier. Her skin was glowing. Mm-hmm. So powerful foods.
And for a lot of people, once a day will kind of do it. And then there's other people that need two times a day or three times a day, or maybe they want, or they've been doing once a day and it wasn't enough. I know I have a dear friend who's on the call tonight. She was doing once a day and she was maintaining her challenge, okay, but she wasn't overcoming it. And it wasn't until, and it was a nervous, one of these that's in that high mystery level. It wasn't until she did it two or three times a day that she actually overcame it. But again, she didn't have to treat the symptoms, you know, all of those things. She restored the balance in her body. The reason that I feel like this is important information, obviously you're not going to share this with all your people, you know, every time you go to help somebody, but it gives you the confidence that no matter what the health challenge, there's probably a root cause that you're dealing with. And as you're working with them, you can help them. How is your exercise? You know, let's look at your gut. What about your table foods? Let's talk about nourish, balance, and cleanse. How's your nervous system doing? So these are five areas that we can work on with them. Okay, maybe not day one, all of that, but these are areas that are addressing this root cause. My dissertation, I attached it in the invitation because I wanted you to have this. Okay, I just kind of summarized it, but there is a what we call a yuck list in there, and I find that that's really helpful, especially to people who maybe have quite a few things and they've tried so many things and nothing is working for them. And so I just have them go through it and check, you know, put a 10 or a 2 or 1 or whatever, and then a month later say, hey, check it again and check it again, so they can see their progress. Because sometimes all they can think about is that big ache that hasn't gone away yet, and they forget about all the little things that are progressing. And then after that, also in the appendix, there are 66 mystery illnesses described there, the symptoms. And so, you know, it just helps to understand mystery weight gain. It can be both hypothyroid and weight gain are caused by the Epstein-Barr virus overburdening and creating a sluggish liver, lymphatic system, and adrenals. So just to kind of give you an idea so that you have that at your fingertips. So
Barb, I think, has a question or a comment.
Yes, Barb.
I do, Donna. It was interesting because when you talked about the Epstein-Barr, the first thing you said is the mold thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a lady on the call here tonight that raised that question to me today, and I said, well, let's be on the call tonight, and mm-hmm. we will maybe get an answer. What, like, just the basic program, or is yeah. there anything extra?
Well, I would say, first off, see if you can eliminate the mold. And this is where fruit and veggie rinse is very, very good for helping with that. Let's get rid of the causes as much as we can. And then just start flooding your body, building up that immune system, strengthening all of those organs. I mean, do we know where the virus is sitting? Sometimes the symptoms will reveal where it's sitting, okay, and growing. But sometimes we don't know. We hurt here, and then we hurt here, and then we hurt down here, and then we hurt here, and we can't think. So it can be, you know, affecting us different places. So if you can do three times a day, wow. If you can do twice a day, it's better, okay? Or maybe only once a day. Like Dottie's friend, okay? She's still making progress. How deep-seated that is in her body and how much mold she's been exposed to and how much she's dealing with and how much she's inherited. All these things may determine how long it takes and how much she needs. But just have the confidence. These foods work.
Thank you, Donna. That's great.
Somebody else's Goldie. Hand up there?
I think Goldie's.
Hi, I have a friend on here for the first time, and she's dealing with a major calcium deficiency. Mm-hmm. So what would you suggest to do?
So again, so looking at why is she having that calcium deficiency, possibly the body is using that to kind of encapsulate the virus. So it's pulling calcium from the body. So what is our, again, we want to deal with the cause, which is your nourished, balanced cleanse. And then what is our extra calcium food?
Cow tabs. And you got to take it with mm-hmm. vitamin C.
That'd be good because that helps it to digest even better. I remember, what's her name? She was our, she's no longer with us. What? Sharon, yes. Sure. She would say, if you're hurting anywhere in the body, do 10 herb cal. What was she talking about? Possibly she was helping to address some of these issues.
So yeah. Really she was saying take 10 cal?
Yeah, yeah. She'd say, you know, if you're hurting, take 10. And maintaining, you know, she had a lot of herb cal. She was a big herb cal person.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question.
Thank you for asking. I hope your friend was benefited for tonight. Thank you for inviting her.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else?
Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Talking to me. This has been wonderful, Donna. Incredibly helpful for so many people. Do you know what I've found as I listen to you? It broadens the perspective to our thinking.
Yes.
That it isn't just either this or something else. There's so many things involved. So the bottom line is like those five things that you said, we have to have a better diet. We have to have our exercise, look after our emotional side. It's so important to do body, mind, and soul when you're dealing with all of this. So it's been wonderful, Dawn. I just can't thank you enough for your time and all of your wisdom. You're just a gift. We're very grateful.
Well, I just thank the Lord for giving us all this wisdom, because it's just helped all of us. It's helped me immeasurably to be able to help people. Hopefully if it helps somebody tonight, then that's... Thank you for the privilege of sharing.
In summary, there are 6 powerful actions that can help you put the Epstein-Barr virus into remission and rebuild your health. 1. Exercise. Remove the internal mucus. Exercise is the lymphatic system's only pump. 2. Build a healthy gut microbiome. Vitadophilus, a probiotic that is protected to actually reach the gut intact, evergreen, an oil form of chlorophyll combined with specific herbs to bring oxygen and intensive healing to the digestive system. 3. Consider your table foods carefully. Fruit is your number one healing table food. Fruit smoothies with Sunrider Foods are a delicious and powerful way to begin your day. Flood your body with plenty of greens. Remove the viral feeders. Eggs are number one, all dairy, simple sugars, gluten, canola oil, and alcohol. 4. Sunrider food herbs are the highest form of regenerative whole foods. They're concentrated 8 to 10 times, a wide variety with very specific combinations to restore balance in the body, so it can heal itself. Nourish, balance, and cleanse with the basics, New Plus, Quenery, Cali, Fortune Delight, and Sunny Dew 3 times a day for full speed regeneration. 5. Powerfully rebuild the immune system with Alpha 20C, Sunrider's Immune System Builder, 3 times a day, and Golden Seal, Sunrider's Natural Antibiotic, 3 times a day. 6. Rebuild the nervous system with Top, Joy, and Ease 3 to 6 capsules of each per day. These are powerful nervous system foods. Be patient with yourself. Be consistent, do what you can, knowing that the more you can do, the faster your body can return to optimum health. Learning the root cause and how to heal and have optimum health can empower the sufferer to cooperate with how we were designed. Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, is credited for the saying, "Let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food." Thank you for listening.